Those passages that Emily just read from Isaiah are among my favorites. That chapter 40 through about 44 area. I would always say I had that realization of, oh yeah, that's what I forgot. I forgot to include the scripture in the presentation this morning. What I like about those verses from Isaiah is that time and again the prophet comes back and casts a vision of reconciliation and promise to the waiting people in exile. And it's among the most beautiful promises there. I will cause streams to come forth in the desert, because I am doing a new thing for my own sake. That's the refrain. That's what keeps coming back. But now, we also sit with God doing that new thing in Israel through Christ, and revealing this blessing here. This is Luke's rendering of both the anticipation of the coming Christ, but then also that realization in the form of Christ's baptism. And you'll find it in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing hook is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people had been baptized, and when Jesus had also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased. One of the more fascinating elements of this job is among the most mundane. It's answering the phone. Because you never quite know what you're going to get. And I've learned this over the years. Most of the time, it's the phone calls that we're all used to. The unsolicited phone calls, looking to sell you something, only in this time, in this place, if they have actually figured out that we're a church, their particular brand of snake oil promises to fill the pews and the offering plates by their little miracle cure. And other times, it's people who are looking for a hand up or a handout. Looking for the church to be church. And sometimes you say yes, and sometimes you don't. And you get pretty good at hearing the approach and the language that is crafted just so to tell you that they're good and faithful people who just need a little bit of help. Back in Tucson, I had a whole other category of calls, often in Spanish, asking whether we happen to have queso Mennonita, Mennonite cheese. Turns out the Chihuahua colonies are known all over Mexico for their cheese, which is just the thing for tacos. And so you open up the phone book and you find one listing for Mennonites in Tucson, so they must have cheese. So, sorry guys, wrong part of the Anabaptist family. For all this, though, you do every so often get a more fascinating opportunity that does some good and honestly does you some good. I'll always remember one phone call. Just an ordinary afternoon, and it was just simple enough. Are you the pastor? I would like you to bless me. That was it. That was all, no hard sell, no bad story, just bless me. And I was taken aback because this isn't something I do from day to day. So I stalled for time and asked for that bad story. And it was rough and the family and whatnot. And sooner than home, I had hoped it came back to, you are the pastor, right? Won't you bless me? And but now my brain had shifted into high gear and considering to my shame what sort of ploy this might be. What does he really want? And beyond that, who am I to bless anyone, let alone someone who I don't know and never will? And theologically speaking, perhaps for blessing isn't much of a Mennonite concept. My ordination, while important, doesn't grant me the specific license that says you get to bless people any more than all of your licenses say the exact same thing. Only I get to pay more attention to it. In the biblical tradition, it's God who blesses and not humans. And sure, there might be people who deliver the message of blessing. Think about Aaron, who stretches his arms over the people of Israel to bless them, and the prophets who declare what God is going to restore in all these places. But bottom line is, I don't ultimately have that power. At best, I pass on what already is given. And on and on and on I go. For about 5 seconds, until I hit upon the one actually only relevant issue here. If somebody asked me to bless them, who am I to say no? Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the individual, who am I to say no? So I blessed him. In an hour of prayer, I simply prayed that God might bless my friend on the other end of the phone and sustain him through all that he faces. And that was that. A thank you, a goodbye, and a blessing. And it was quite remarkable. This and experiences like it remind me time and again of the most human of needs. That often we look for blessing. We look for approval. We look for promise. And sometimes it can be hard to find what we are looking for. Because we know that often when we hear people's pain, it takes the form of, I just don't know how to please them. I don't know how to make them happy. And to feel no doubt that that might be something about ourselves. And it doesn't matter what form that doubt comes in. or who the other you are trying to please, a parent, a spouse, a friend, or in our minds, God, we always think that we always have to try and please the other. And we want to know what we did counts and how it is, and we long to hear, "In you, I am pleased." Because we all need to know that we matter and that we are loved and that we are accepted. And absent that, it's hard to thrive in a real, substantive way. We need this in our personal lives, and we need this in our spiritual lives. We want to know that we have met approval, and we are generally doubtful, by and large, that God is in the approval-granting business. It's more that when it comes to the end, will I measure up? And this is why this voice from the heavens carries so much weight. Because, yes, it's about a person and a place and a particular epiphany of Jesus, but it's also about the revelation of God with us saying, "In humanity, here I dwell. And in humanity, I am pleased." It's that both end. I think it's something we occasionally miss along the way, because we're always going to say, "Well, that was Jesus." It doesn't really have anything to do with us. For us, we had to jump through the hoops and all the rest to get it right, but sometimes we just need to allow ourselves to hear the blessing in the first place of, "You are blessed, you are loved, you are accepted." And I think that's something that we occasionally get wrong in our sense of baptism. We often think of baptism as something we do to get right with God, to set it up and to get there. It's the hoop that we jump through. And as important as it is, I don't think that that's quite it. Because we get baptized to say, "Yes, I accept the blessing that is already here in me and through me, and in that blessing and out of that blessing is how I want to live my life." The action doesn't create the blessing. The action simply accepts it and holds it and inaugurates it, come what may. In the days before Christmas, I went shopping for a gift, ostensibly from the kids. We're at that stage where, yes, they're old enough to actually give their mother something, except for the fact that I'm not going to give them the credit card. And not being one who's a huge fan of buying clothes in general, or buying clothes at Walmart in particular, I was a little bit surprised when I went browsing the women's line and racks with the amount of paraphernalia that bears the emblem, "I am blessed." Which is wonderful and a great idea, but often a little bit awkward, I think. The hashtag blessed movement is where people disclose their good fortune by tagging it as God's blessing in full effect on whatever social media platform they choose. And there's every expectation that gratitude is always there, but there's always the implication of, well, look at me and look at how I've been blessed so I can there be there. So you can see how my life really takes shape. And I wonder whether there is really a connection between that status of being blessed and a knowledge of who the one who blessed them is. But being in the market for a nightshirt to fill out a pajama pairing, I simply selected the best of what was there and got on with my list. I can get behind the conviction of living in God and recognizing God as the source of good things in our lives. Laying aside the fact that I probably don't need merchandise to do so. But if we are blessed, we must always ask and wonder why, by which I mean, to what end? We don't need to wonder why we might be the recipient of blessing. The question that was blessing is, yes, thanks be to God. And now what do I do to pass this blessing on to someone else? We can recognize the blessing because when we recognize God in our lives, we live into this promise that God is indeed pleased with us and takes joy in us and takes joy in our reality. And yes, we are blessed. Just by the circumstances of our birth and our reality in North America and education and all the rest, we are blessed. Always. But we are blessed so we might bless others. Yet we guard our ability to bless jealously, both physically and even more so emotionally and spiritually. Like I was on the phone, we find ourselves more wrapped up in the mechanisms of what it might mean and how we do this and how we sort out the blessing from the curse than simply to go on the rationale of, because you too are a child of God, beloved of God, you are entitled to blessing. God loves me because I don't know why. And God loves you simply because you are you. And that is enough. The creator of the universe in all its infinite, mind-boggling complexity loves me not just because I behave myself or appropriately give when asked, but because the child of God within me is valued beyond measure. And that applies universally. The biggest difficulty in obtaining a sense of the love of God is not that God withholds it from us. It's that we ourselves struggle to accept that love as our own. And it can be an epiphany when we do glimpse it and understand it for ourselves. It's in wrapping our heads around the fact that God, that grace exists in the first place, and that we have to convince ourselves that we are qualified to reflect the grace to others. And all that takes work. There's a quote from Paul Tillich, whose definition of grace rings true. He writes, "Faith is our acceptance of God's acceptance of us, even though we know ourselves to be unacceptable." Give that to you one more time. Faith is our acceptance of God's acceptance of us, even though we know ourselves to be unacceptable. is in this faith, this acceptance that we can, in time, find a home, and from that home we can do what we can to ultimately live out the full meaning of blessing, receiving grace and sharing it on. But when we know, really know that blessing is ours, is the hallmark of faith, we can clear our blessing not as a birthright to be cashed in, but as the foundational identity that we can share with whomever we meet. We are people of faith who have been met with blessing and with the promise of God's best for us. But that of itself does not make us unique. It does not qualify us as different. It simply reveals the truth of God with us, to us, and it must be shared with all who is here. Again, we underestimate the power that we have to bless, and even more so, the power that we carry to curse. We are loath to go there in case we get it wrong, in case we find the wrong person, or bless the wrong thing, or do it the wrong way. And we forget that for ourselves, that we need to hear this blessing. And we forget that we ourselves are beloved. And we forget that we ourselves share that belovedness on with others. We can bless one another. We can pronounce literally and figuratively the pleasure of God to be with us, to come to us, to walk beside us, no matter what. And we need to do this for each other because we know how easily this belovedness is to forget. We can be dispensers of grace, not as magicians in the pretense that grace makes all the bad stuff go away, but simply because that's who we are called to be, the ambassadors of God's reconciliation that we always have been. And it seems like an easy prescription for an all too bleeding world. I know that the words of blessing are often some of the last that come to my mind, because I want to do something even more than what I want to share something. But we never can forget that we are all called to voice what we need to hear. There's a voice of blessing, and voice is what is there. And share that well. I'm going to close today with an invitation to do that which we don't do all that often. Only when we're feeling a little bit high churchy. I'd like us to pass the peace. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Because when we pass the peace to one another, we speak a blessing on the other. A hope and a promise of Christ. An acceptance of love, come what may. We're going to take time to bless one another. And you're praying for the other. And that's never anything to be passed up or easily passed over. As you extend grace, accept the grace extended to you. Let's pass the peace, blessing each other and spreading God's grace.